I'd like to open up with a speech here. Where it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey His will, to be grateful for His benefits, and humbly implore His protection and favor. And whereas both houses of Congress have by joint committee requested me to recommend to the people of the United States a day of public thanksgiving and prayer, to be observed by acknowledging with grateful hearts the many and signal favors of Almighty God, especially by affording them an opportunity peaceably to establish a form of government for their safety and happiness. Now, therefore, I do recommend and assign Thursday, the 26th of November, next to be devoted by the people of these states to the service that great and glorious being who is the beneficent author of all good that was, that is, and or that will be, that we may then all unite in rendering unto him our sincere and humble thanks for his kind care and protection of the people of this country, previous to their becoming a nation, for the signal manifold mercies and favorable interpositions of his providence in the cause and conclusion of the late war, for the great degree of tranquility, union, and plenty which we have since enjoyed, for the peaceable and rational manner in which we have been able to establish constitutions of government for our safety and happiness, and particularly the nation, one now lately instituted for the civil and religious liberty with which we are blessed, and the means we have acquiring and diffusing useful knowledge, and in general for all the great and various favors which he has been pleased to confer on us. And also that we may then unite in most humbly offering our prayers and supplications to the great Lord and ruler of nations, and beseech him to pardon our national and other transgressions, to enable us all, whether in public or in private stations, to perform our several and relative duties properly and punctually, to render our national government a blessing to all people by constantly being a government of wise, just, and constitutional laws, discreetly and faithfully executed and obeyed, to protect and guide all sovereigns and nations, especially such as to show kindness to all, and to bless them with good government, peace, and concord, to promote the knowledge and practice of true religion and virtue, and the increase of science among them and us, and generally to grant unto all mankind such degree of temporal prosperity as he alone knows to be the best. This was George Washington's Thanksgiving proclamation in 1789, and it would be hard to believe that a sitting president today would give such a speech. Now, this coming week, the country will celebrate our national holiday of Thanksgiving. The holiday has changed much over the years than it originally was. Like many holidays that are celebrated, their meaning or origin changed throughout the years. Thanksgiving is not just an American holiday, but it's based on the harvest festival, but it's most popular as we know it of today. It started out as a Christian holiday of thanks, and thanks to all the good, thanks to God for all that he provided for those that settled here early. I'm going to start with a little backstory of the early Thanksgiving. The Puritans started as a small group in Scrooby, England. They attended the Anglican Church along with their neighbors and friends, even though scripturally they found nothing to support the Church of England. They would attend with fellow Anglicans to present the United Front against the Catholic Church, which was not popular at the time in England, which was also considered a threat to Protestants. Finally, the small group of Scrooby voted to separate from the Anglican Church and then become known as the Separatists. The Separatists went through much abuse and financial turmoil. Many of the Separatists were farmers, and they were not able to sell their crops in town. They would have rocks thrown at them and sometimes be tossed in jail. Finally, many sought refuge in Holland, where they would tolerate their religious differences. They were there for about 11 years when they felt they were starting to lose their identity. The group prospered and grown from 125 to about 250, but many were aging, and the young had become more and more Dutch each year. Many of the youth rebelled and fled into the Dutch society. So William Brewster, the group's elder, had many connections in high places in England and worked out a deal to charter a couple of ships to America. The only caveat was the group would have to also travel with a group of non-believers and also have to supply fish in trade to a company that put up the money. The separatists now became known as the Pilgrims. And the Pilgrims, and a pilgrim is an individual who undertakes a journey for religious purposes. The Pilgrims were traveling to America so they would have freedom to worship as they pleased. The Pilgrims were looking for a direct and intimate relationship between man and God. Like other Puritan groups, they were looking for a more pure form of religion. The voyage via the Mayflower lasted about 66 days and nights. It started as a trip with about 102 passengers and ended up with a trip with 102 passengers. During the voyage, one man died and one woman gave birth, and they named the child Oceanus. The early days of the colonies were very difficult. Many suffered from poor diet while succumbed to the harsh winter. More than half of the Mayflower arrivals died from pneumonia or scurvy in the first year. The incident noted as the first Thanksgiving was approximately 1621 as a result of a successful corn harvest. All the other crops that they planted failed, and they had been, and this had been a dark time. They spent more time burying people than harvesting crops. Pilgrims set aside a three days to celebrate the harvest. Upon this point, the pilgrims' true day of Thanksgiving involved fasting and prayer. But with the lack of food and starvation, the festival involved eating and celebrating. It was common in many European cultures to celebrate a harvest festival. These harvest festivals are noted to be similar to the festivals of booze. The pilgrims celebrated their harvest, and they were able to reflect the last couple years of all their travels from England to Holland to America to find their current home. This makes me reflect back on a couple weeks ago on our festival of booze we had here. My family enjoyed the change to the standard meeting into the smaller meeting. It was a very small, intimate gathering at the Levees. We enjoyed fellowship with the Levees, the Stickneys, and Glenn and Jennifer DeCosson. The discussions were warm, spiritual, and uplifting, and centered around a wonderful meal prepared by the Levees. The impact was that we had a previous relationship, but in an intimate meeting and a meal, a spiritual dialogue strengthened our bonds and our relationships. What we took from this is that it isn't enough just to come to Sunday and say hi. We need to really strengthen our relationships with each other. In other words, relationships can easily fade over time if they're not fed, so to speak. Keeping those relationships going through means of meals and other activities keep our bonds strong as a family unit. And what this ecclesia and brethren are to me, our family, I say through meals, because when you eat around a table, conversation usually starts to follow. Going back to the first Thanksgiving, it consisted of a group of colonists and pilgrims, about approximately 50 from Plymouth. The group went fowling or bird hunting, as they called it. Someone quoted the saying that they had enough to last a week that they've caught in one day. The original menu differs from what we're usually accustomed to. They were able to catch duck, geese, and turkeys were not easily caught at the time. They also had fish, eels, shellfish, stews, vegetable, and beer. The Wampanoag Indians, about 90 of them, showed up and surprised the colony and brought with them food to share. The two groups celebrated together 8 enjoyed activities, and the governor at the time, Edward Winslow, documented the event that was to be published a year later. Here's an excerpt from that day. "Our corn, which is their wheat, did prove well, and God be praised. We had a good increase of Indian corn, and our barley, indifferent to good, but our peas not worth gathering, for we feared they were late sown. They came up very well and blossomed, But the sun parched them in the blossom. Our harvest being gotten in, our governor sent 4 men a-fowling, that we might after a special manner rejoice together after we had gathered the fruits of our labors. They 4 in 1 day killed as much fowl as a little help besides served the company almost a week, at which time amongst the recreations we exercised our arms, many of the Indian coming among us, and among the rest their great King Massanite, with some 90 men whom the 3 days were entertained and feasted. And they went out and killed 5 deer, which they brought to the plantation and bestowed to our governor, and upon the captain and others. And although it not be as plentiful as it would be this time with us, yet by the goodness of God we are so far from want that we often wished you partakers our plenty. The colonists of New England celebrated many Thanksgiving feasts after successful harvests, military campaigns, or surviving the winter. The Christian settlers, commonly known as the Separatists, or later known as the Pilgrims, had days of praise, Thanksgiving, when they felt that the evidence of God's favor. They would periodically hold special sermons and lectures on Thursday nights in Massachusetts. George Washington then proclaimed on Thursday, November 26, 1789, to be a National Day of Thanks. Congress was one that recommended the date and also stated it to be a day of the people of the United States as a day of public thanksgiving and prayer to be observed by acknowledging with grateful hearts the many signal favors of the Almighty God. After 1789, Thanksgiving was left to the individual states. Mostly the North would celebrate the holiday. The South would not. 9 years after Washington's proclamation, John Adams called for a day of solemn humiliation and fasting and prayer. This was different than the first Thanksgiving, but very similar to the way the Pilgrims traditionally celebrated the Day of Thanks. Thomas Jefferson did not believe there should be a National Day of Thanks. He thought it represented a monarchical practice and opposed the holiday for his 2 terms of office. President James Madison restored the observance of Thanksgiving on April 13, 1815, and Thanksgiving became the official national holiday just days after the Battle of Gettysburg in 1863. President Abraham Lincoln proclaimed that Thanksgiving be held on August 6th and be an annual holiday, national holiday. He thought this would be a good start to try and heal the wounds from a divisive civil war that lasted 5 years. In 1867, President Andrew Johnson moved it to the last day of November, and from there on, for the next 75 years, it would bounce around as various presidents would put it on a day they pleased. And then finally, President Franklin Roosevelt moved the date to the second to last Thursday of November. He made this change upon the request for national retailers wanting more shopping days for Christmas. The last Thursday of November was close to Christmas. So the national holiday of Thanksgiving was bounced around numerous times and finally solidified on a standard date. The holiday is mostly associated with feasting, football, and after-holiday shopping. But the spirit of the holiday is still intact, the idea of giving thanks and gathering with family and friends. I think the true holiday of Thanksgiving is more than an annual holiday, but that should be celebrated daily. We have much to be thankful for. I know I have much to be thankful for my family, our health, shelter, and a living ecclesia nearby. Some reasons that we should be thankful are to give glory to God, and we also are commanded to, and the dangerous consequences of thanklessness. We honor God by giving thanks, acknowledging that He is in complete control and that we depend on Him. We can turn to Psalm 118, verse 28. Psalm 118, verse 28. You are my God, and I will give you thanks. You are my God, and I will exalt you. And then turn to Psalm 69, verse 30. Psalm 69, verse 30. I will praise God's name in song and glorify him with thanksgiving. This will please the Lord more than... These verses show that we're to go to God and praise him, his name, and give him thanks, that we're giving him glory and honoring him. Complete thankfulness in God will humble us and help us to recognize our dependence on him, and that all happens in our lives as a product of God's sovereign control, infinite wisdom, and grace. We are commanded to give thanks to God. Our lives are full of gifts that help us sustain and survive our daily walk. We also have our trials that are there to strengthen our spiritual lives. We need to acknowledge that everything comes from God and in return give thanks and glory to our Father. Turn to Psalm 100. Psalm 100. Shout for joy to the Lord, all of the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with the joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter the gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise to his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Paul tells us in Colossians 3, 15 through 17, Colossians 3, 15 through 17. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you are called to peace and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, that you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do all this in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to the God the Father through him. What are some of the possible dangers and pitfalls for thanklessness? Thanklessness is dangerous to oneself and those around us. It both dishonors God and leads us to pride and a haughty individual that will tend towards humanism rather than faith. Let's see this in Romans 1, 21 through 22. Romans 1, 21 through 22. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave him thanks to him. But their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools. Without giving thanks thanksgiving to God, we could focus on our thinking as a less godly manner, and this could lead to decisions and patterns that make us look foolhardy. Substituting our wisdom over God's wisdom is a foolish undertaking and is no different than being thankless. One would have substituted their self or taken credit for everything they did is contrary to what God wants us and also shows dishonor to him. The opposite of thankfulness leads to bitterness, grumbling, and complaining. Many of the folks at work, in my work, can be some of the most grumbly, bitter people you meet. It's very infectious, and especially with politics and current events are concerned. Fortunately, where I work, it's near Agora Road, and I can take a nice walking up the hill, and a hill or two, and this is also, it gives me the time to escape after lunch, and also to air out my head. Even though, as a sidebar, we had our Thanksgiving lunch at work, and the same people I work with that day were complete opposite. They were some of the most thankful people I met, even though not many of them liked their jobs. They were all thankful to have a job, and some of them even thanked God for all that. So it was an interesting turn of events. Thanklessness promotes feelings of narrow-mindedness. We focus on things like issues of small importance, issues of self, and focus less on the Lord. If we look at 2 Corinthians 2 and 14, but thanks be to God, who always leads us in a triumphal procession in Christ, and through us spreads everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of Him. This passage from 2 Corinthians shows us that God-focused individual will triumph in Christ rather than fall with the spirit of despair and bitterness. When should we give thanks? Anytime we reach out in prayer. Scripture illustrates that here in a couple of verses that you don't need to turn up. First is Ephesians 1 and 16. I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. And 1 Thessalonians 1 and 2. We always thank God for all of you, mentioning you in our prayers. We are exhorted that prayer should be an offering of thanksgiving in Colossians 4 and 2. Devote yourself, Colossians 4 and 2, devote yourself to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And in Philippians 4 and 6, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Thanksgiving helps us to focus on God and that He is working in our lives. And this helps us to see God's purpose, promise, and plans for us. This also grants us the peace that was shown in Philippians 4 and 6. Secondly, we should give thanks in everything. This is reinforced by the fact that God is sovereign and working in our lives and the great sustainer. Read that in Ephesians 5 and 20. Ephesians 5 and 20. Always give thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And 1 Thessalonians 5 and 18. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 18. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Finally, we will always give thanks because it keeps our pride in check and keeps us focused on God, and that we continue to lay our burdens at His feet. Psalm 68, 19 through 20 shows us that. Psalm 68, 19 through 20. Praise be to the Lord, to God our Savior, who daily bears our burdens. Our God is a God who saves from the sovereign Lord and comes escape from death. If we fail to go to God and give thanks for all He has done and the strength to get through trials, how is He supposed to help us? This is a masquerade that pride gives us, that we can do it alone without God. Preparing for the Thanksgiving meal with the upcoming holiday, we all know there's a lot of preparation that goes into the Thanksgiving meal. We have lots of shopping, straining of the house, preparing the guests, and then cooking, and then finally the cleanup. Today here we are gathered around the table of our Lord with the meal of the bread and the wine as we remember our Lord. This is a lot of spiritual there is a lot of spiritual preparation that goes into today's meal too. In Corinthians 11:28, a man is ought to examine himself before he eats the bread and the wine. While our Lord's away, there is a whole week between Thanksgiving meals, and I know for myself, life has many ways to derail me. I've tried to make time, but if I don't go on one of my walkabouts or go hide in the lab at lunch, I can go and do the readings there. This technology both has pros and cons, because I can read the Bible on a ready's notice on my phone wherever I go. And any time we can have fellowship together, it strengthens us. Mondays are great because I can go hang out with a bunch of great brethren and play softball. This is another one of those moments where we can bond on a smaller scale. Plus, we have many ecclesial members in the stands, the best fans out there rooting for us even when we're losing. As we humbly take these emblems, it is time to remember our Lord and give thanks for the forgiveness and salvation. As Eric showed us a couple weeks back, through Jesus we are free, free from the bonds of the law, and we have a path of salvation from sin. I could turn from Romans 8:2. Romans 8:2. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. So in summation, we honor God through giving him thanks, and we are commanded to give thanks in our prayers. If we could not become, if we could become in a state of thanklessness, if we lose our bridge with God and invest more time in ourselves and jeopardize our relationship with God. Just like the pilgrims, who were thankful for surviving the rough winter and gaining a new home where they can worship freely, we are thankful for another week we survived and our troubles and our ecclesial home full of brethren and sisters who support us one another. I would like to close with thanksgiving to God from 1 Chronicles 29, 11 through 13. Chronicles 29, 11 through 13. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor. For everything in heaven and in earth is yours. Your, O Lord, is the kingdoms. You are exalted as head over all. Wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things. In your hands and strength and power to exalt and give strength to all. Now, our God, we thanks and praise and glorious in your glorious name. Thank you.